Welcome, everyone, to episode 108 of High Tech on the Low. Licia, how are you this morning?
Thank you, Jordan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy to have you here. We're sitting here with Licia Bahar-Manoa, general partner at Catalyst Funds. Here, we're going to talk about the interesting world of investments, especially right now in this economy and how it is to even raise a fund in the first place. But as always, we are sponsored by Front Team and JB Upscale with 3,000 members and your dedicated marketing team, all looking to connect. And as always, if you like what you're hearing on this episode, give us a like, give us a subscribe, a view, a follow, whatever. We always appreciate it. So, Licia, let's get into the world of investments today, right? Everyone wants money. Everyone wants to know how to get money. Everyone wants to know how to get money to build their dream, their startup, whatever it is. You're actually doing it. You're actually giving money and you're actually building your own fund. So maybe give us a little brief background as to who you are and how you got into the world of fund building.
Okay. Thank you, first of all. Hello, everyone. My name is Licia Bahar-Manoa. I'm a GP at Catalyst Funds for 5 years.
Amazing.
And actually with the founding partners still, since 24 years active, with Yeo Shamir, Eduard Kukerman, and Boaz Saral. Lucky to be with them.
Definitely.
Together.
Yeah.
We just established a fund, a new fund, Ford Fund. And I really appreciate to establish the fund by these market slowdown and challenging times.
Sure.
It's not easy that the investors trust in us and we build together a fund. To invest in the Israeli high-tech technology further, which I personally am proud of that. A little bit about me, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Originally, I'm from Turkey,
nice.
Born and raised in Istanbul. But at the age of 18, where there was no WhatsApp and Skype and nothing, I flew the nest alone. So to study mechanical engineering and industrial engineering.
So you went to engineering and then decided to open a fund.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Crazy,
like,
right?
Crazy. Totally different.
Yes, totally different.
Oh, wow.
I was working in biodegradable materials in BMW for 9 years.
Okay.
Who was thinking that to open a fund
yeah,
at that
right.
time? Yeah, actually, it's true. It's crazy.
Okay.
So I was living in Vienna for 9 years. I speak German, was working in BMW and in Magna Steyr. And one day I got a call from my brother, Licia, we need to leave that 1 year in the same country, come to Israel.
Okay.
So I packed my luggage practically and came to Israel for 1 year.
Okay.
I studied MBA
at
Tel Aviv University, executive MBA.
So that was like changing your career there a little bit from the
I think that was a kind of a transition for me.
Sure.
I met at the right people on the right places. And I said, Licia, if you worked in the automotive industry, you need to work that in the agri industry in Israel.
Okay.
You know, like automotive industry is changing Germany and Austria. So agri industry is changing that in Israel. So I said, why not?
Okay.
So I entered into Adama around 4.5 years into the...
What is Adama?
Adama is the crop protection company, the biggest actually in Israel.
Wow. Okay.
At that time, it was that also a transition and M&A. That to the ChemChina for $2.6 billion.
Okay.
So it's like I was luckily to be part of the.
I was
going to
say thrown
operation.
Into the deep end, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I found myself, wow, what an exciting place. I went for 1 year almost to Boston to study that risk management, to understand more about the finance, came back to Israel and found myself on another M&A deal, which was that Qatar Group. Qatar Group has been sold to BC Partners. For $1.73 billion. So I was working with the team together, leading M&A with the M&A team. And then NBC Partners in UK, the private equity side, and that was the transition for me from the sell side to the buy side.
Okay.
So this is where I felt myself, wow, it's good to sell a company, to prepare a company for sale. But wait a minute, it's also good to invest.
Right.
Like for the next 2.5 years, so like I was on the private equity side doing that by post-merger integration and looking that from the eyes from the investors.
Okay.
And this is where I fell in love.
And this is where we've catch you today, basically.
And this is where I jumped into the Catalyst. So I joined my partners 5 years ago as partner in Catalyst.
Wow. You've had quite the journey. I mean, from engineer to seller side to buyer side. I mean, crazy. What do you think was the impetus? Like, what got you into that? Because, like, you know, a lot of people who jump from engineering to fund building, I mean, that's honestly illogical. In my mind, it's totally illogical. But, I mean, I also just don't hear it a lot of times for engineers who are building funds. What was, like, the drive for you?
Actually, also from the mechanical engineering, it's so technical. I love that what I'm doing that today because Like, I'm sitting with the entrepreneurs. And when I'm sitting with the entrepreneurs, the crazy discussions between the engineers. So I'm so happy that I can understand and I can add value. And then I can discuss with them about not only about the business, which is very important, right? Product, market fit, about the finance,
we're all trying to build a business
competition and business. But if you can understand the technology and can have that impact on that technology, that's, I think, another level, and that's another love.
But you can also open the door more, and you can also understand, are they BSing me or not, right? Because at the end of the day, if you understand the engineering,
correct. It is easier to make due diligence. You touch the points correctly.
Yeah.
So you know that where is that in the process in the OEM companies, when they are talking about the energy and about the climate tech, you know that where is the buzzword and where is not the buzzword.
Sure.
Yes, but mainly I love that what I'm doing that. So I love the technology.
Right.
And if I can combine it, and today is that the private equity venture capital gives the opportunity to combine with the financial skills and engineering skills, I think that's like the best part, that you feel comfortable adding an added value.
Do you think like the best VCs are kind of ones that can mix those together, kind of the, I don't know, the technical knowledge with the business knowledge?
So I saw the bot.
Okay. Okay, sure.
I saw the bot. I saw that I work with the people that were coming very much from the financial background and looking that on the financial data and judging the company based on the financial data. And today, for example, one of the most strength is in Catalyst. All my partners, we are coming all from the engineering background.
All of you?
All of us.
Really? Okay.
And I was thinking at the beginning, is like that, is it an added value or is it disadvantage?
Sure.
Today, I'm seeing that as a great advantage.
Okay.
Of course, you need to be excelled in the financial, in the negotiations when you are sitting that. And I think that it's very, very, very important.
Sure.
But if you can understand that these engineers and talk that to their language.
Right.
Then it's another relationship starts from the beginning with them.
Sure. Do you guys like feel
because
like...
Because at the end of the day, it's a long journey.
Okay.
It's not like a journey that for the next 2 years. It's like from the day that we start, sometimes it takes 8 years, 10 years, 6 years, 12 years, right?
You're in the long haul.
It's in the long haul.
Yeah.
And you need to work together.
Right.
You cannot that's, I think, the best part. In the engineering world, you collaborate together.
Okay.
In the financial world, you're more...
Competitive.
Competitive.
You can say it. I saw it on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're more competitive.
Uh-huh.
And when you can combine it both, then it's amazing.
Then you're superpowers.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Now, when you're talking about it, because you're talking about, like, this kind of whole long-term relationship, how do you, like, build that with the companies in your portfolio? Are you guys providing support? Are you guys just providing, you know, technical support? How does it work?
I think the most important thing is also not with the entrepreneurs, also with the investors, to be honest.
Okay. What do you mean by that, though?
Because
everyone says that,
No.
Okay.
Not to have a back agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, what do you mean?
When you are supporting the entrepreneurs, you really support them. You don't support them because your LP wants that they are going to the exit in the next 2 years because they want to get that the return as soon as possible. When it is for the company to scale up and to grow more, and the company needs even more time, 6 years, you need to be with the company until the end.
Okay.
And at the end, this will be even more return for the LPs.
And you give them both, like, in a sense, connections, obviously, to business, but you also help them, support them in their development, too, I assume.
In both sense, yes.
Okay.
We are very, it depends that on the VCs, but mostly the Israeli VCs and also Catalyst, we are very hands-on.
Sure.
So which means that we are really working that with the CEO, not only with the CEO, with all the management team of the company.
Sure.
We are supporting them to scale.
Uh-huh.
So if they are opening that a branch in Germany, in UK, an R&D center, and so we are there.
Uh-huh.
We are supporting them. We are supporting them on the HR wise to bring them to the right network,
to get them actual workers who can support
them. To hire them,
the
right people, to bring them the strategic people to the board. Because, like, you shouldn't be fell in love in yourself. You should fell in love more into the people that can bring added value that to the company.
I like that.
And if you can do that together, it will be much in a shorter time. The company will have a greater success. And this is what we need to achieve it for.
Do you have an example of something like that you guys did recently? Of like a company that you guys just like, you know, your network, your support took them from, you know, zero to hero in a sense?
I think for all the companies we are doing that. We are the only VC that has invested in Mobileye, where no one was talking in the autonomous driving. So my partner was that, said we need to invest that in Mobileye.
And
We brought the company. And we are
smart move.
Very smart move. Very, very smart move. So after that, we followed on the smart mobility and the energy sector very, very closely. So we have invested in 4D radar technology in Arbe. CEO is the Kobi Morenko and Noam, the co-founder. And when we have invested at the end of 2019.
So a few years ago.
Less than 1.5 years, the company went at public. NASDAQ.
And this is all just from your connecting and moving and getting them the right support, getting them the right connection to the right
I think it's
workers.
A collaboration. It's like that. Of course that my partner is chairman on the company. Of course that there's a huge influence that working that together.
Sure.
But it's also the biggest success belongs that to the entrepreneurs, to the success.
Of course.
But yes, we have opened that many doors. We help them. We are supporting them still day by day. And it was on my on our former fund, on the Catalyst 3 fund.
Sure.
And when we established a new fund on the Catalyst 4 fund, we have asked recently, 1.5 months ago, we have completed a PIPE.
Okay.
So PIPE is that private investment in the public companies.
Okay.
So it's another investment in the more mature company, Arbe, which will support them even to grow more. The company will that have achieved even bigger goals now with the investment that they have received 1.5 months ago. And we have invested also from our new fund.
So this is this long haul approach that you guys are talking about. You're trying to win them
to
the
start. We don't leave the company.
Yeah.
Just we are like with them, like till the end.
Well, I like also this idea that you're bringing up, this whole transparency, like the honesty, like to be honest with them. Because that sometimes, you know, at a certain time, you have to sometimes say, hey, this is going great. We love it. Let me help you here. And this is where you kind of need to pivot. How do those conversations go?
Very tough.
Yeah.
Like the ego part is the biggest tough part. And when we are saying that to invest in the people, it's correct. Everyone says that.
Sure.
But I think because you are investing in the people, it means that you need to know the people.
Uh-huh.
And the CEO sometimes or the management needs to know that, okay, it could be even more tougher negotiation. Okay, I'm not the right person for this stage. I need to step down and someone else needs to come. I will stay that as a CTO or a co-founder. But I am not the next CEO that is bringing up the company that further.
Like we might have gotten to a certain threshold and now we got to go.
Exactly. Because to invest in a company that who is managing that 100 people is different than managing that 1,000 people. Now, I don't say that some CEOs cannot do that. But normally it is requires the different skills. And you need to be open that to be able that to discuss also with the management when the time comes up.
Yeah.
Because eventually you want to scale up the company. You want to bring them on NASDAQ. You want to make that a big exit.
Right.
You don't want to the whole purpose of the VCs is that bringing them bigger and bigger.
It's that push.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sure. And so interestingly enough, you're saying that kind of one of the biggest issues you have is the ego of the entrepreneur who...
Also the ego of the investors. I think that the ego of the people, yes.
What sense? Wow, that's a good one. Hearing this from the investor. Okay.
Of course.
Sure. What's the ego side of that? You know, that you guys just wanted to succeed, that you're trying to get your money back or...
No, so like the ego of the investor, could it be that... As a VC, you are not the only one who is sitting on the round table, okay?
Okay.
And the private equity is different. You are investing in the majority.
Sure.
Okay? So it's like different ball game and different conditions and different negotiations.
Sure.
On the VC, you need to be able on the same opinion for the company. And sometimes you are not on the same opinion. Why? Why? I'm saying that and the ego? Because the fund could be that at the different stage at that time.
Okay.
So I am at the beginning of our new fund, right?
Sure.
But if someone is just right away finalizing their fund and they need to close the fund, what is that their intention? To sell the company as soon as possible, right?
Okay.
It's like we might have that different goals.
So you're in a sense, you're saying that sometimes even the VC and the company may just be misaligned due to timing,
due to
the stages that they're at.
Correct. And this is the reason it's very, very important when you are investing in the company, not who are you investing in the company, also who is sitting on the round table of the company.
So that's why VCs
are
very
Because it's very long journey.
Okay.
Like me and you, we need to be very good along together, right, along the 12 years.
Right.
And we need to try the best for the company.
So would you say that sometimes, like, as a VC investor, you know, you look at who's on the cap table and you might say, wow, this is a great company, but I'm not so sure because I don't like the other people they're with?
It's not that I don't like the people. Normally, before you are investing, at least what we are doing, also we are meeting the other investors who, sure, are sitting on the round table in order to see that if we are aligned on the goals,
okay,
for the future.
Sure.
I think this is very important.
That's interesting. How do you get aligned? Because sometimes maybe you don't come aligned, right? You guys might have different ideas.
To ask the right questions, okay, you know, that it's like, because you are coming from that world,
sure,
you know that which questions to understand, which, sure, questions that to ask, that what are that your try to understand that the intention of the VC on the company. For example, some of the early stage VC, right, that they can do that secondary, and it is okay to, right, secondary. Today there's, by the way, biggest rise in the secondary market,
right.
Why? Because the average time to exit is getting higher and,
right,
higher,
it's getting longer,
and the funds period didn't change, right? 8 years
to
10 years.
They still need their money back. They still got
need
their
your
LPs,
money back.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a huge rise on the secondary, which,
sure,
is a great opportunity. On one side, which is perfect. On the other side, it's also true to do that. Because the early stage investor, when they are investing very, very early in the beginning, I think the added value to give that to the company on the exit period is that, again, you need different skills. Okay, you need to be able that to more on the M&A mindset, to prepare that IPO documents, and then once it's done the IPO, how to support the company that further, is it needed another M&A and another acquisition and so, or in another,
right,
pipe.
And some VCs can't handle that.
Yeah, different skill sets.
Right. Uh huh. Sure.
So that we need also separate that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So on that side, you know, let's go into the world that everyone definitely wants to hear about, is like how you guys are investing into companies, right? You know, how does your mind work when you're looking at this? So one of the questions I want to ask you straight from the start is, you know, what are you guys at Catalyst? What's your main focus in terms of what are you investing in?
Like, Catalyst is generalist, and many VCs are like that. I think that is like everyone saying that the same.
Right.
But because we are coming that very much from the engineering background, we love that efficiency.
Okay. What does that mean? Because don't, right, we all like efficiency? I would
say. So when we are talking about the AI, generative,
okay,
AI,
sure,
okay? So like we are looking at the technologies where they can create the efficiency and better,
okay,
support. It doesn't matter if it's that of the education tech, or,
sure,
the biotech, or improving the life of the people that while you are,
sure,
driving the autonomous. But how do you measure the efficiency? What is that? How is that impacting on the life of the people?
Interesting. Okay.
Right? So, because that's a critical point for us that to understand that if we are going in or not.
Okay.
Another technology is that it's climate tech. Today,
okay,
is not a buzzword. It's not like clean tech in 2008.
Right.
Everyone was talking in 2009 when you are looking at the numbers. Nobody has invested.
Right, right.
Okay. Climate tech is literally happening. Even if I'm not talking, outside it's happening.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So
the world is moving. We need help. Exactly.
First time, there's a reverse engineering.
What do you mean?
It means that we know that there's an end. It's changing.
Okay.
I need to find the reverse engineering. So it's happening already. I need to start that from the end.
Okay.
To find the solution now.
Okay.
On the other technologies, let's dream big, right? Let's create that a smart mobility, autonomous driving.
Okay.
Let's do that the cyber security in that. It's like you don't have that. You don't need that to do reverse engineering.
Okay.
Here on the climate tech is different from the others.
Interesting.
You have that a kind of a borderline. Doesn't matter if it's 2030, 40, or 50. It's coming.
Right.
It's like that. Everything is changing that correctly.
It's, in a sense, it's almost like we know what the end is, but now we have to learn how to fix it, right?
Exactly.
Not the other way around where it's like, oh, well, I need a better, you know, I don't know, cloud security,
exactly,
you know, tool, whatever. Let's see what happens, in a sense.
And this is very, very we just recently invested also, you asked that, in the energy technology,
mm-hmm,
in the battery technology.
Okay.
Called Adionics.
Okay.
It's early stage company. They have finalized Series A, now that's Series B. They are making change on the battery technology.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, and this is critical. This
like
is critical.
Solar energy-wise, like in terms of storing, or they're just doing it in batteries, or?
The battery,
okay,
technology, 3D, they are doing that. But what they are doing that different, when the people are looking at a chemical approach, they are going that through the physical approach, and they are trying that to change that the energy on the battery.
Okay, so for the physics podcast, we'll talk about that later.
With pleasure.
For sure.
With pleasure.
For sure, for sure. But they're like, so that's like kind of in a sense a company though that you look at and you say, okay, these guys
I need to
see
improve
it.
Now.
Okay.
I'm looking at not in 10 years. Right. I need to improve that the life of the people or uh-huh. 20 years. Uh-huh. I need to improve now.
Interesting.
So what kind of technologies I can find that are trying that to find to improve that? Because it's like new batteries will come. For example, new batteries will come.
Uh-huh.
It's a matter of time. Right. It will come in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Right. It will come. Okay. So maybe it will even take more time to scale up
okay.
because it's a new technology.
Right.
Like scaling up, it takes time.
Just like anything. Sure.
Yes. But on the other side, I'm like stepping back and looking that into the technologies. Still, it can be that innovation and disruption on the high end.
Right.
You know, all the PhD students came that together and built that amazing technology.
Right.
But this could be used now.
Okay.
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 That's, I think, big difference.
So that's like impact investment a little bit more.
It's not impact investment. It's more that. Impact, the part of the impact investment is that how do I make an impact on the people, which is very, very important.
Okay.
Here in the technologies is that I'm taking that, okay, which from the generative AI, what I can use now and what I can use in 15 years. Because the LPs, let's talk that honestly,
uh-huh.
LPs also do not want to wait 15 years.
Right. They have their money they want back today.
They trust yeah. in us. They've given us.
Right.
But they don't want to wait 15 years.
Of course not.
They want to get that their money as also quickly. And one way to do that, looking at the technologies, to make an impact now.
Okay, I like that. Okay, so you still come back full circle to the impact.
Exactly.
In the end, it's always the impact. Now, I want to, you know, focus a little bit. I'm sure you have a lot of entrepreneurs who come to you. And I'm sure there are many you say, bye. And many of you say, come back to us when you're more cooked. And so, and then the very few that you say, yes, let's go all the way, right?
Correct.
You know, we don't have to get into exact percentages of the of who's what. But where do you find that the guys who are, in a sense, the most likely to get funded, what are they doing right?
Let's start. What are they doing wrong?
I
sure. think they are not. They don't do anything wrong. You know, it's like that.
They don't do anything wrong.
No,
nothing.
Nothing, almost. So I love that. One time I was discussing with my other friends from UK, the investors, and some of them are sending, that the pitch deck with the spelling mistakes. The other one is that they are not looking the product market fit, the technology. And so I'm listening and it's all correct.
Okay.
But on the other side, come on, if you don't try, you will never do mistakes.
Right.
You know, it's like, do the mistakes. There's no mistake, actually. As
right.
an entrepreneur, like, go and listen that...
fail upwards.
To the feedback
right.
of the investor, okay? So when, like, if you didn't...
Wait, I like that you just said, listen to the feedback of the investor. That's good, because it also goes back to your ego point earlier.
Exactly.
Right? Like, kind of leave your ego at the door. Exactly. Listen to what the person's saying. They're
exactly.
not necessarily against Licia or Jordan. They're against something else.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I love that listening more than sometimes that speaking.
Right.
So also that as an investor, you should listen more.
Sure.
But the feedback part is that critical because is some entrepreneurs didn't really look that on the product market
okay.
fit. They didn't look at patents. They didn't look the competition. They didn't look at the technology that that are already existing in the market.
Okay.
So many things can be done wrong.
Sure.
In that perspective.
Sure.
What we love that, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because like we are inside and we
sure.
are listening that many companies in a day and every day and many years, you are familiar a little bit better with the technology.
Mm.
And the time that you are getting, wow, this is something else, like that I didn't hear that before. Maybe it was my mistake, you know? Maybe
okay.
it is existing, but I didn't
right.
hear. Like I get interested. And once we get interested, we discuss together within the group.
Sure.
And if we are like all interested because it's like something else, we follow up the company.
Okay.
Because we are investing in more mature companies.
Okay.
Which means that sometimes the company might be very interesting, but as you said, maybe they will pivot several times. Maybe the company will change that different management, different things.
Right.
And we are investing that in more mature stage.
Mm-hmm.
So in that point, I follow up the companies.
Okay.
Even though that they are very early stage.
Okay.
And when the timing is right, so we are investing that.
Interesting. So you're kind of looking more at like a holistic kind of set of indicators, I guess. You guys are not just looking at, like, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people on this show, they'll say, oh, I'm looking at the team, or I'm looking at the traction. But you guys are looking at these other indicators, like, are they onto something? Are they making efficiency? Is the team good enough now to take this forward to a certain degree? Could they make a pivot later and still be okay?
Correct.
So you're not just looking. Okay, interesting.
That they, if they have that the power that whatever the problem is, if it's COVID, if it's that Ukraine war, if it's that cheap wars, if they have the power that to come when the problem comes to fight the problems.
Okay.
And not just like, oh, now the problem is and revenue is that half. Obviously, we know that the revenue will be less and the EBITDA will be less. But how can we change the strategy at that point of time to support you and to make still that the customer? Okay.
Yeah.
So, for example, like COVID seems so far away, but during the COVID, okay, where the smart mobility sector is stopped, in China, it didn't stop.
Okay.
Okay, it was going that forward. And if you could take that the strategy towards to China at that time, you could still make that revenue and strategy and sales and the contract. This is the one way doing that,
right.
Okay? Also on the cheap world, how you are making that longer contract and you are taking more. So it's all about that. Not making that one-man show of decision, trying that together, like with the board, with the VC, with the investor, and with the entrepreneurs together, how can we mitigate the risk now?
Interesting. I like that. I like how you're kind of also, you know, you guys are aware, very fully aware of the risks. Now, being that said, you know, we're actually coming to the end of the show. I know it's crazy. These things go very quick.
No way.
You're just, it feels it. I can sense it. Now, what, you know, I want to end the show on a very important note here, which is, you know, everyone wants to know how they're going to get money from you, right? Everyone, that's a main goal here. What are the things that Licia is looking at, you know, when you're evaluating a company? What is the top, let's say, two things on your mind that you're looking at? I know we've talked about a lot of different things, your risk, efficiency, impact, all these things. But what are you looking at?
I'm looking in good people, first of all, good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's most important because it's a long journey and we need to be able to work together, not against each other, work together and collaborate together. And the second is that, yes, the sectors are, some of the sectors are more important now for me, which is that climate. And when I'm saying that climate is that the energy, agri-tech and AI, but in AI, that efficiency part, the biotech, cybersecurity. So I think that there are, because we are in the technology part, so I cannot differentiate one baby from the another baby. Okay.
Right.
So everything is that interesting. So,
but it kind of sounds like what you're saying is like, obviously I'm looking at the team, but you're also looking at the trends. You know, you're trying to see what is trendy right now.
But
what's
trends is
on.
Not the buzzword. The trends is that what is making the impact now. Mm. Okay.
If impact
the
trends.
Yes. If the technology is that changing now something, how much they are making that really efficiency? How can I scale up the company that now?
Right.
Not in 10 years or 20 years.
Right.
Okay?
And it's looking at something that's actually a need. Right?
Exactly.
A need today. Not, I need to make an NFT to
must,
go do something.
Must to
right?
have. Not nice to have.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, Licia, you know what? I really appreciate you giving this kind of like spotlight of the entire VC world and explaining your unique career path into it and how you guys are really moving in at Catalyst. And I really wish you guys a lot of luck. I think it's very interesting. And maybe, who knows, maybe someday, one day you'll be funding someone who listened to this show. So
thank you very much. First of all, we will appreciate if other entrepreneurs are coming. We love that.
Awesome.
We're sitting that around. And thank you for your time. I
awesome.
Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Licia.